the great deacon Shlomo Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about practicing righteousness leads to eternal life. Practicing righteousness leads to eternal life. If you turn over in your book of Yahweh to page 986, it's Revelations 22, verse 12 through 14. It says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work will be. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who keep his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." So you can see there that Yahshua is going to give us a reward, and that's entering into the kingdom. That's only if we keep Yahweh's laws. Okay, if you turn over to page 747, it's Matthew 19, and there was a person who asked Yahshua about righteousness. If you look at verse 16, it says, "And behold," Matthew 19, verse 16, "And behold, one came to him and said, 'Teacher, what righteous thing may I do so I may have eternal life?' But Yahshua said to him, 'Why do you question me about righteousness? There is only one who is the standard of perfection, and that is Yahweh. So if you would enter into life, keep the laws of Yahweh.'" So you see there, the person asked Yahshua, "What can I do that I may have eternal life?" So they knew that if they kept Yahweh's laws, they would have eternal life. And then Yahshua went on to say certain of the commandments: honor your father and mother, and other things. So if you would keep Yahweh's laws, you will have eternal life. That's what Yahshua told him. If you turn over to Romans, so we have to learn to serve and obey Yahweh and his laws. Romans 6 and verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" And the new prophetic word talks about this, about practicing sin leads to death. But if you practice righteousness or keep Yahweh's laws, you will have eternal life. So we have to learn to serve and obey Yahweh. The definition from practicing, it's in the Webster's dictionary. It means actively engaged in a particular occupation or a way of life. It's an actively engaged in a particular occupation or a way of life. And that's what we have to do with Yahweh's laws. We have to engage ourselves with them and make it a way of our life. Just like with the peaceful solution, the only way it'll work is if we apply it in our own lives. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 and 16, it's on page 173. It says, "See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death and destruction, in that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you go in to possess." So you can see there, he sets before us life and death, blessings and curses. So choose life. And with that, if everyone will please stand. I have the privilege and honor to turn it over to the great Kahan Kanath.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's truly a blessing always to get up before the called out ones. Hope everybody's Feast of Trumpets went real well. You know, I thought it was, like Pastor said, it was the greatest one that we've had to date. You know, everything went well. The food was great also, both the physical and the spiritual food. The title of my sermon is Make Atonement According to the Pattern. Make Atonement According to the Pattern. We're going to start on page 66 in the book of Exodus, Exodus 25:40. And as we go through this sermon here, I'd like to make sure that everybody pays attention to what has been said, especially yesterday, you know, in regards to unity, because this pattern is a pattern of unity. We must be in unity with Yahweh. The only way we can be in unity with Yahweh, as we've been taught in the house of Yahweh, is to be in unity with the one sent, who is in unity with Yahshua Messiah. Okay, so Exodus 25:40. This pattern is according to the original plan of Yahweh. And see that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. And we know that the mountain is the great house of Yahweh. You know, this is where we receive the teachings, the knowledge. Okay? And this word make means form and mold and actually to serve. You know, all of these things, you know, are put together so that we can make atonement to Yahweh, this upcoming atonement. Okay, go up to verse 31, make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer out the base and shaft. Okay, so the base, as we've been taught in the house of Yahweh, is the foundation. You know, what is the foundation for this last day's work? The foundation is Yahshua Messiah and the laws, the prophecies, and the apostles and the prophets of old. Its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms shall be of one piece. And that one piece signifies unity. All seven works of the great plan of Yahweh have all been in unity by being under the direction and the guidance of Yahweh. We've all were set out to do a specific work. As we know in this era here, this work is a culminating work, like Pastor has taught us, to where everything is going to come together, and the last will be first, and the first will be last. And of course, all of that is in terms of the resurrection. Go down to verse 36. The buds and branches shall all be of one piece with the lampstand hammered out of pure gold. And we know Pastor had told us this hammering is all of the knocks and the little nicks that we get, you know, here and there with tests and trials. You know, it's a purification process. And just like our forefathers, these works before us, you know, we're going to go through some severe tests also. Okay, let's go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 14:40 on page 897, keeping all of this in mind. On 897, on page 897, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Okay, and the Apostle Shaul gives us the same pattern, the same likeness that we must be in. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Verse 40 says, let all things be done decently in order. Okay, now if you go go up to verse 39, therefore, brothers, be eager to prophesy. We know prophesy is to teach, you know, which we're all being trained to be teachers of righteousness. Okay, therefore, brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. And do not forbid speaking with other languages. And this example right here reminds me of what Pastor has said recently about the translations of the books of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. You know, he's been very, very to the point, you know, that these books in the translation of these languages, which this is an example right here that we can see scripturally, you know, it's got to be according to that original work. You know, the original Peaceful Solution Character Education Program books, manuals cannot be changed in any way. There can't be anything added. There can't be anything subtracted. And as we go out and teach, we know and understand that we have to do this according to the books, as we've been taught, which we're learning in the workshops. Okay? Let's now turn over to Yochanan 1. So we'll see this plan. We'll rehearse this scripture of Yahweh's great plan on page 814. Yochanan 1, very familiar scriptures to each and every one of us. We're going to go ahead and rehearse it here, though, so we can see it. We can get all of these pieces together. Okay, in Yochanan 1, verses 1 through 5, we read, "In the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's." You know, showing that the apostle is trying to make sure that it's understood that everything was initiated or brought into existence in this plan by one being, and that was Yahweh. Okay? The same plan was in the beginning. You know, in Genesis, we read about it. Okay? And actually, let's go ahead and turn back over to Genesis 1:26. You can hold your place right there. And let's go back so we can see this promise that's made to mankind. Okay, hold your place there and go to Genesis 1:26. Then Yahweh said, "I will make man in my image according to my likeness," according to this righteous pattern of his existence. Okay, in my likeness, 26. Okay. "They will have," speaking of mankind, "they will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So we, and actually, you know, what's been brought forth through the research, that this word rulership, it means authority. You know, what we're going to be given in order to heal the sick and raise the dead. And this is, of course, all going to be given to pastor first. But as we grow in knowledge and understanding, we have that promise also if we qualify. Okay, so reading it in that way, they will have authority. They will have authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and, of course, further down, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And it's only been taught by the house of Yahweh, by Pastor, the great Khan Yisrael Abel Hawkins, that this is referring to the microorganisms. You know, scientific knowledge doesn't even have the basics of how the organisms came into existence. Okay? Let's see. Okay, so let's go back to Yochanan. Continuing on in verse 3, "All things were done according to it, and without it, nothing was done," referring to this plan, you know, which I can remember years ago. I remember Pastor saying something, referring to something like that Yahweh was the greatest scientist in the entire universe, because what did he do? He researched everything out. He made sure that everything that was done in a way of bringing forth righteousness, you know, not to have any kind of, snag foods in the way that his plan has been brought forth. And he knew, you know, that mankind was going to go ahead and take this choice, which was a bad choice, you know, to sin. And therefore, we, you know, we'll be cleansed through this. We will have atonement made for us. Continuing on in verse 4. "In this plan was life," exactly what we're speaking about, eternal life. You know, we have life today. It's a physical life. but eternal life is what we seek after, okay? And that life was the light to mankind. So when you think about it, think about this lampstand. Every work of Yahweh has brought forth the light to mankind. Now, the light to mankind is the laws, the prophecies, the plan, everything to bring forth righteousness. Okay, now that light, which today is the great house of Yahweh under the direction of the great Kohen Yeshua Abel Hawkins, that light shines in the darkness, and like Pastor has taught us, we're here to expose the sins of the world so that they can see, just like what took place with us when we received our calling from Yahweh to first come to the house of Yahweh. But the darkness does not take hold of it. You know, there's a lot, you know, of people that this, you know, message will just go right over their head. And in that way, we've got to know and understand that they're just not being called. I thought it was real interesting. Today is the 27th, and that, let's see where I wrote it out here. That number 27, that word 27 means, according to KGB Answers Online, 27 is a lunar symbol indicating the light and darkness, a symbol of divine light. Now think about that in a way that Yahweh's plan came into existence, where he knew that on this Roman month, the 27th, that we would sight the new moon, well, the 26th, I should say, that we would sight the new moon. The new moon is a symbol of increase of knowledge, as you can see, as the light increases as we go through the feast, first to the Day of Atonement, and of course then to the Great Feast of Tabernacles, and then the last great day. But all of these things are symbolic. You know, everything that Yahweh does is for a reason. Of course, it's to bring knowledge to mankind. Okay? And I think also, you know, about us seeing Pastor's face in the moon. You know, I mean, all of those things should help us to understand that this is the house of Yahweh, and it's all under the direction of the great Kohen Yisrael Abel Hawkins through Yahshua and being Yahweh's work. Okay, so let's go ahead and continue on. Let's go, let's turn over to Colossians 2 on page 926. Colossians 2, page 926, keeping in mind everything about the upcoming Day of Atonement, okay? Because as I mentioned in the title, you know, we can make atonement according to this pattern that we're being taught by the house of Yahweh, okay? Colossians 2, verse 16. Okay, therefore let no man condemn you for doing these things, eating and drinking in the observance of a feast day, or of a new moon, or of a Sabbath day. You know, this is the pattern. You know, this is how we receive the protection from Yahweh. You know, Yahweh's eternal appointments, his Sabbaths, his feast days. Okay, and then in verse 17, which are a shadow of protection from things to come for the body of Messiah. And of course, the main thing I wanted everyone to see here, this protection comes upon the body. You know, no one individual is going to make it into the kingdom and everybody else get left behind. You know, we have to look at things as a body, all being in the likeness of Yahshua Messiah. Okay? So let's see here. So let's let no one stop us from bringing unity into the great house of Yahweh. Okay, and if you look on the next page in Colossians 3, verse 12, therefore as the elect of Yahweh, which we are, okay, holy and beloved, you know, put on compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, all of these things we see in Yahshua Messiah. You know, and today, who do we see it in? We see it in Pastor. You know, he is the most humble the most meek person on the face of this earth. And we got to know and understand that so we can come into that same likeness. Okay? Verse 13, being patient with one another, forgiving one another. And I know this is something in order, you know, for us to make atonement or have atonement made for us. Okay, we've got to be like this. We've got to be forgiving of one another. You know, anytime something takes place, I know even last night, you know, there was a lot of stressful situations. We still have to be in a mindset, you know, to forgive one another when things take place. Okay? Now that's the whole thing of correction. If we don't understand correction, we don't understand Yahweh's laws. Okay, so let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and finish out 13. Being patient with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Messiah forgave you, so you must also forgive. Or so we must also forgive. Okay, let's turn over to Yochanan Mark 3:33. And then that way we can see this likeness of Yahshua. Yochanan Mark, chapter 3, verse 33. This was a sermon, example that Pastor had given us just recently here. Okay, and verse 33, but he answered, and of course this is Yahshua, but he answered them saying, who is my mother or my brothers? You know, we've got to look at the person on the left and the right, the back, behind us, the far, the people that are keeping this eternal appointment, you know, with us today. These are the ones that our brothers, that are our brothers and sisters, okay? Then he looked around at those surrounding him and said, behold, my mother and my brothers, those keeping the laws of Yahweh at the house of Yahweh, okay? Let's see here. Let's turn back to Colossians. Page 926. Let's turn back to Colossians. I wanted to make sure that we've seen about the knowledge and the teachings of the house of Yahweh. Okay. Colossians 3, look at verse 10. And this is something to keep in mind as we prepare ourselves for this great day of atonement, and are putting on a new man who is being renewed in full knowledge. This full knowledge is of the laws and the prophecies. And like we all know and understand, when we come here on the Sabbath, you know, it's actually just overflowing. You know, I mean, it's hard to keep up with the books and the prophetic words and everything, but we got to know and understand that can't be left out. But we've got to be here on the Sabbath, or if not here on the Sabbath, being able to listen to the Sabbath sermons in order to grow in knowledge and understanding. Okay, if not, we're going to be left behind. Okay, according to this image, you know, this image of Yahshua, which is the perfect image of Yahweh, who is creating him. Okay, and then in verse 11, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Yadai, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, all in Messiah, and all of Messiah, and all in Messiah. We've got to be in this unity. Okay? Let's go to Yochanan 5. Yochanan 5 on page 819. Yochanan 5, and you know, it's getting to the point in the sermon of is going to help us to make atonement. And you know, it's amazing. You know, Pastor just recently in one of his sermons, he had talked about the fact that we are his crown, and in that scripture, it talked about, you know, Yeshua being atoned. And it made me think about the fact, about everything he's taught us about the posterity, you know, and I've got a Hurtel Bible, and in there, you know, I mean, there's a lot in there about the wording about posterity, you know, and we see it today in the future generations, you know, the great future priests, you know, all being taught. I know myself and a lot of those that have been here for a long time, I know I had no inkling that it would be to this degree that these young boys and girls can get up and have the level of knowledge that they have, and the actual responsibility, the respect, all of the character of Yahweh, you know, to be, you know, this great future generation. And I feel that the way Pastor was explaining it, you know, to this atonement that's made. We have atonement made to us through being righteous parents, being righteous leaders, you know, having those that come up behind us, being righteous teachers, because all of that is involved in that, you know. And of course, we may have failed here and there, but we've got to know and understand as the knowledge increases, you know, we are going to receive this atonement by those that actually come behind us. You know, as Yahshua presents Pastor is going to present us and all of the children that are coming up behind us. Okay, so this is one of the things I wanted to make sure that was understood in making atonement. Okay, so in Yochanan 5, verses 25 through 27, truly, truly, I say to you, and of course this is Yahshua, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice. And you remember how Pastor said this voice, you know, hear the voice of Yahweh, hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and those who hear will live. And this is, of course, all speaking about the resurrection. This word hear, it's got to refer to the fact of the microorganisms. Yahweh is going to allow these microorganisms to understand and hear the command. I know here lately I've been praying, you know, that Yahweh would give Pastor not only the use of the full use of the subconscious mind, but this ability to communicate with the microorganisms, you know, in order to heal the sick and raise the dead. Okay? Because this is what it's all about. Okay, for just as the Father has life in himself, so he is given to the Son or sons, which we're all, you know, to be qualified in this ability to raise the dead, to have life in himself, and has given him, and of course, you know, it started with Yahshua, but of course Yahshua's inspiring Pastor, bringing forth Yahweh's plan in the same way, to have this authority to execute this judgment and all of the judgments of Yahweh to bring eternal life, okay? Because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, do not be astonished. You know, we shouldn't be astonished by this. We've been taught this from the beginning in the house of Yahweh. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear, you know, hear his voice. Okay, let's turn over to Yekezkiah 37, so that we can get this example, page 657, Yekezkiah 37, and we'll see that word again here. You know, we've got to know and understand that, as Pastor has told us, the microorganisms, because of the sins of mankind, you know, are not going to obey us until we come in perfect unity with Yahweh. Okay? In chapter 37, starting at verse 1, the hand of Yahweh was upon me, and he carried me in the Spirit of Yahweh. And we know that the Spirit of Yahweh is what? It's the laws and the prophecies. Okay? And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Then he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And of course we know, yes, through righteous through a righteous priest going and fulfilling this prophecy of resurrecting the dead, this will take place. And I answered, O Father Yahweh, you know. And verse 4, again he said to me, prophesy. And we know that the only prophet on the face of the earth is pastor. You know, I mean, in Isaiah we see, you know, he's the prophesy, he's the teach, all of this to bring forth Yahweh's plan. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. And of course, this is given by the command, by authority. So in verses 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And a lot of this, you know, I thought about was in a way of unity. You know, we've got to understand that as a unit, just as Yahweh is going to allow these bones and the sinews to come upon these bones, it's all significant of the unity of life, of eternal life, which only comes through the house of Yahweh. Okay, and in verse 7 and verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. They stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly vast army. Now let's go ahead and go to Daniel 12, page 684. Daniel 12, page 684, and you'll see here, you know, where it's given to this seventh Moloch, you know, the authority for all of these things to take place. Starting in verse 1, and at that time, speaking of this last generation, and at that time will Micaiah, and we know that this word means pastor, you know, it refers to pastor, at that time will pastor stand up, this great ruler who stands for the children of your people, and there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that same time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. And of course, this is all speaking and referring to the resurrection. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise, and like I'd mentioned earlier, you know, I did get one of the Hertel Bibles, and you know, just like what Pastor said in that side note, it does refer to teachers. You know, this word wise, you know, and those who are teachers or wise will shine as the brightness of the heavens. And those who turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And that's the whole thing. We've got to understand that this is an eternity. One other thing I wanted to cover was, this was about the date, October the 13th. This was brought forth early in the house of Yahweh on page, referring to this anniversary, I'll say, of October the 13th. You know, the actual anniversary of the 7-year peace plan, volume 1 of The Mark of the Beast, on page 78, it says, Pastor writes here, excerpt from Unger's Bible Dictionary, Babylon, page 116, okay, and it refers to the time period of 556 to 539, see Daniel 5, Nabonidus was the last king of the Neo-Babylonian Empire on October the 13th in the year of 539 BC. Babylon fell to Cyrus of Persia, and from that time on the decay of the city began. And that's what I wanted to kind of make sure everybody understood too. You know, even when Babylon falls, you know, I mean, this actual going down is going to take place over a period of time before everything starts totally getting renewed. Okay? Reading on, Xerxes plundered it. Alexander the Great thought to restore its great temple and ruins in his day, but was deterred by the prohibitive cost. And, you know, keep all of these things in mind. We have a great, great Feast of Trumpets. I mean, a great, great Feast of Atonement coming up. Please, everyone, let's stay in unity with the one sent. And with that, I'd like for everybody to please stand. Praise Yahweh. I've got the great blessing and opportunity to introduce our next teacher, the great Kohan Bezalel Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. We've been hearing some really great messages. Yesterday we heard about the trumpets and the color purple and bullying. And today we heard about unity and coming into one atonement with Yahweh. And whatever I can't cover in 30 minutes, I'm sure Pastor can cover in 30 years. And it's all available to you in his writings. So if I were to sum up this sermon in one word, the word would be listen. But to listen effectively, you need to understand what it means. We're going to look at the word listen in Proverbs 5, verse 1. In the King James Version, that word is attend. And it's word 7181. In Strong's, it means prick up the ears. Now, you've all seen this. If you've seen a dog or a cat, when you call their name or get their attention, they prick up their ears and they direct those ears toward the sound. So it means to become attentive, at attention. One thing I've learned recently to help myself is they did a scientific study and they found that when a person hunches over like we do on the computer, it can actually affect your mood and cause you to come into a more depressed state of mind. So take a deep breath, sit up straight, and we'll all pay close attention to our teacher. I had to laugh when I read that article because I remember my mother always telling me, sit up straight, sit up straight. And I've put it to the test and it works. Pastor hasn't needed to correct me or wake me up lately. It also means to hearken. Now, the last speaker was Kohan Kanath, and short for Kanath is kin. So, hear, kin. Got it? Hearken? Just a little joke. But the word hearken is 8085. It comes from the Hebrew word shema, and it means to hear intelligently, often with the implication of attention, and with the intention of obedience, hearing to obey, listening. So right now you may be hearing me making noise, but are you listening to the words so that they make sense to you? Are you actually engaging yourself with the conversation? To hear not only what is said, but to agree with its intention or petition that is inviting you or encouraging you to participate. And in the case of listening to a higher authority, once again, it means to obey with the intention to obey. We're going to try a couple of listening exercises. Are you ready? Okay. You see that? Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question and give you some time to think about it here. And you see if you can come up with the answer. If a rooster chicken lays an egg on the peak of a roof, which side will the egg roll off, to the north or the south? I'm hearing about three answers. Well, you're listening closely. It's neither, because roosters don't lay eggs. You got that one right. You're too quick. Okay, this one's a little more challenging. Okay. How many pairs of clean animals did Moshe take into the ark? Wait, don't answer yet. You got three choices. A, was it two? B, seven? Or C, none of the above? Great. Well, I can see I've got your attention. It's none of the above because Moshe didn't do that. It was Noah who took the animals into the ark. And this is what listening can do for us. It actually, we're picking out the words. They make sense to us, and we hear with understanding. And as we're going to see as we go through this lesson, Yahweh rewards that effort that you put forth in giving ear to your teachers. So let's take a look here once again at Proverbs 5. And let's hear Yahweh's instruction to us, to all of us. My son, listen to my wisdom. And remember, as I've taught the young men, Yahweh holds you first in accountability and responsibility for your families when you grow up. So it says, my son, you've got to learn it first. You know, Adam was first, and it was his responsibility to teach his wife and to teach their children. So the women are not left out here. They're treated special and shown the same love and concern that Yahweh expects from us to all those he calls, and in fact, all his creation. And I'm getting a little ahead there, but the idea in this sermon is to listen to the messages, to hear with understanding what we're taught and apply it in our lives. My son, listen to my wisdom, lend your ear to my understanding. Verse 9, or you will give your honor to others and your years to those without mercy. Then strangers will be filled with your wealth. The fruits of your labor will go to the house of a stranger, and you will mourn in the end times as your flesh and body waste away. What time are we living in? What's going out in the news right now about Ebola? These are the things that, and it's not just that one, there's others too, but, and you will say, how I hated instruction, how my mind resented rebuke and warning. I would not obey my teachers, nor listen to those who instructed me. Now I am on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. Look over to Proverbs 21 and verse 16. The man who wanders out of the way of understanding will abide in the assembly of the dead. Before this occurs to you, there's something you can do about it. Before this occurs to your family, under your responsibility, there's something you can do about it. Let's take a look at what we can do before it's too late. Let's look into the peaceful solution. I have here the Building Moral Excellence. We're on page 6. We can find a definition for character. Now here is discussed the difference between character and personality. Character, what is the difference? Character is the combination of moral beliefs that dictates how we treat others, our environment, and ourselves. Now where do these morals and beliefs come from? Think on that. Where do they come from? How do they get into our life? It's the basis on which our every thought, action, and decision is derived. And it's the means by which we distinguish between right and wrong. Personality is the combination of your personal preferences, attitude, likes and dislikes, and social skills. For instance, the type of music you'd like to listen to, whether you like art or football, as well as countless other qualities, make up your personalities. Now we can tell here by reading this that there's choices involved. And we can make intelligent choices. We can evaluate these decisions. The process by which your character and personality is formed is similar in many ways. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this. We're going to examine this next part closely, and then I'm going to read you an article based on some behavioral research or scientific research, something they found evidence or proof for. Some of these similarities include traits inherited. Now, what is something you inherit? That's something you gain through from your parents through your genes, correct? It's part of your bodily makeup. It's part of your appearance, your personality, whether you're more outgoing or more reserved. These traits can be passed on, as well as righteous behavior, righteous traits, the desire to seek your Creator, desire to serve Yahweh. These things can be passed on in the genes. Also included in this is how and where you were raised. So this is your environment. And experiences that have influenced you. So we have experiences and influences, and these affect the way the brain makes connections, physical connections in the brain, how you, what ideas you and thoughts you get when you're stimulated with an experience or influence, and it influences how you think. Here's an article. It was printed in the BBC World Service. Why do some people never get depressed? Confronted with some of life's upsetting experiences, such as a divorce or marriage breakdown, unemployment, bereavement, like loss of a loved one, failure of any kind, many people become depressed. It's kind of expected nowadays, I think. But others don't. Why is this? A person who goes through experiences like that and does not get depressed has a measure of what in the psychiatric trade is known as resilience. Wow, resilience. Wouldn't you like to have some of that? Now, we don't need to know exactly what that means right now. When I think about it, I think of like the ability to bounce back or to maintain a certain level. But from this article, what we refer to as resilience is the outcome or result of a complex and continuing set of interactions between our genes, our body chemistry, the wiring of our brains, and our life experiences. Now, you notice how close that reads to what we're learning in A Peace Solution. By listening and following, applying these moral character principles in your life, it builds resilience, the ability to overcome depression. Isn't that great? Morals, yes, the things you're inherited, how you're raised, experiences and influences. Continuing in the building moral excellence, the importance of morals to character. One of the key factors that separates and distinguishes character from personality is called moral principles. In general, moral or ethical principles are universal. In other words, people from all over the world agree and with them and uphold them. Morals refer to principles or beliefs that govern the way people think and behave. Moral principles clearly separate what is right from wrong, and they are the foundation of character. Morality can be divided into three categories. One, behavior and attitude towards all life, including your own life. Behavior and attitude towards possessions and property. Think about your possessions, the things that you have control over. How do you use them? In the property of others, do we respect the rights and property of others? And behavior and attitude towards the environment. How well do we guard our own environment? In these last days, knowledge has been increased And never before have we been able to look into the lives of other people like we can now, through social media, through the internet. When I was growing up, I had very little idea how other people live their lives. Today, we can see into all aspects of people's lives, but it's a very narrow view. You know, a 15-minute video on YouTube does not reveal everything there is to know about Justin Bieber's life. We heard about him the other day. We may see a segment of someone's life, something that they have practiced for years to bring it to perfection. And oh, it looks impressive. And it may look desirable to do that, but in the end, what is it really accomplished? You know, 15 minutes of fame, 15 minutes of glory. What about the rest of their life? If you follow the news, you can see the rest of their life can be pretty miserable. If we're geared only to looking for excitement, it only lasts for a short time and it leaves you empty. There's something far more lasting and valuable that we can pursue. And we can learn to enjoy and appreciate better things in life than those things that are temporary and passing away. I don't have time to read these articles, but I'll give you some headlines and you'll pick up where I'm going with this and the idea. This headline reads, Digital Age, that's speaking of the computer age, Digital Age Overload, Internet Addiction to be classified as mental illness. That was printed in RT. Now, it seems like every time you mention addiction, somebody goes, oh, that's someone who's way over the top, way over the board, is all they do in life is they just stay home and they fill their bodies with unhealthy substances. Or this is somebody who just spends hours and hours and hours straight on the internet or something. But it's not. It all started somewhere. They didn't start there. They arrived there. And so, and it's not just, you know, phones or computers. Because if I forget to mention that, when I mention a computer, I'm talking about phones. The next headline is, experimental evidence of massive scale emotional contagion. Now, contagion is something that's contagious, like you catch a cold from somebody, you catch a disease, or like an epidemic. That's a contagion. Well, now they're talking about an emotional contagion. That is emotions, positive or negative, that can be passed on to others. Experimental evidence of massive scale emotional contagion through social networks. And I would add to that, anything you are exposed to from the media or even family and peers, it's your environment around you. And you need to be equipped to handle these things, to put them in their proper perspective. The next title is, Web Addicts Have Brain Changes Similar to Those Hooked on Drugs or Alcohol. We know that the use of unlawful drugs, illegal drugs, or the unlawful use of alcohol is forbidden not only in Yahweh's laws, even in the laws of the land in certain situations. They know that this causes grievous troubles. And what this is saying is that by exposing yourself to the environment of this world that is led by Satan's influence, it actually has a physical effect on your brain, changes the way you think. A moment ago, I talked about depression and what we can do to influence our mind or attitude. You notice I stood up straight, stop leaning on the podium. You know, that hunched over, that sit up, take a deep breath, pay attention attitude allows the mind to be more expectant, more alert. We should come to every class, every sermon, attentive to hear the message that Yahweh is prepared to bring to us today through the teachers that he's appointed, through pastor, through the Kohans, through the deacons, the future priests, and so forth. There was a book written entitled Digital Dementia. When young children in their formative years, when their brain is developing, young children spend too much time, when they spend too much time using a computer, their brain development suffers irreversibly, is what the author believes to be the case here. That's pretty serious. Irreversible damage or alteration. You know, we need to be filling our minds, our children's minds, with the answers to the problems of today's society, with the laws of Yahweh that provide the solutions, so that they don't lose hope, so that they can see a solution and not just see trouble and strife and no solution. In another report, children are losing creativity and practical skills because they spend too much time in front of screens. There's a difference between what you see and what you actually do with your hands. Now, you can actually improve skills by watching, but you also need to become involved. And so there is positive uses of technology today, but along with it is a lot of negative. But all of this, all of the negative, all of the unrighteous, all of the things that cause hurt and harm to others is passing away. So what I'm appealing to you today is to cut your ties with this world's offerings and attach yourself to the things that are lasting of Yahweh, because this world is passing away. And we can see this in the prophetic words and the newsletters, pastors filling us constantly with this message of peace, and also the showing us the destruction is coming because mankind has forgotten Yahweh's laws. Let's go over to 1 Yochanan. First Yochanan chapter 2. I want you to recognize the future of the ways of this world. And when we get caught up in this world and attach ourselves to the things of this world, I want you to realize where it's all headed. I don't want you to be in ignorance, brethren. First Yochanan chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Look at all the great things I can do. Amazing things that I can do that you can't do. And get 50 billion views. It's the pride of life, and it's not of the Father. Evaluate your life. Anything that's in it that you know is not going to be in the kingdom, let loose of it. That's my advice and counsel to you today. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away with the lust that is in it. But he who does the will of Yahweh abides forever. So this is our instruction, to walk in the Spirit, the laws of Yahweh. Spirit that is holy, that is of Yahweh. Let's turn now over to Galatians. Right after 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the spirit of the law, the laws of Yahweh, spirit that is holy, and you will not perform the lust of the flesh, the carnal passions, the things that come naturally, you know, that feel right. But walk in knowledge, brethren, For the lusts of the flesh are against the Spirit of Yahweh, and the Spirit of Yahweh is against the lust of the flesh. For one opposes the other. So be mindful and do not do just anything you desire to do. Develop that self-control that the Peace of Solution teaches, because all of these things in the world come from satanic teaching through the entertainment of the world, through television, through the music, through all the offerings that they're putting forth in front of you. For if you are led by the Spirit, are you not under the law? Is that not where we desire to be? For the works of the flesh are obvious. Boy, are they obvious. All in front of us. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, sorcery, hatred, God worship, contentions. Does it look like they're having fun out there in all of this? This is 90% of their life. Living in sin, worries and hatreds and contentions and evil jealousies, rage, selfish ambitions. They can seem totally fine, but they're filled with selfish ambition. They just got to have the next new thing. Tormented by these things. Oh, I can't afford the new iPhone. Oh, what am I going to do? And they go out and steal for it. Dissensions, disagreements. Oh, I got to have another kind of toy, you know. Disagreements with quarreling, and all kinds of division. And you can continue to read on. That's the strife in the world that comes by going that way. But we need to build the things that are lasting and enduring. You can read in Ecclesiastes 3:14, whatever Yahweh does will be forever. And that's the side we want to be on, don't we? Praise Yahweh. The world's based on covetous practices that lead to nothing of value, no solutions to the problem they create. They're only dealing with the results of sin. That's a lot of what we see today. It's just they're dealing with the result of sin. And we have troubles too. You know, we have things that break down and wear out, and we're dealing with the results of sin. But Yahweh is getting us set for a lasting kingdom. One more thing before we go on. I want you to remind you in Proverbs chapter 3. You know, we all have possessions. We have talents and abilities, and we should use those talents and abilities to build up the work of Yahweh, of course. But we also have physical possessions. And here in chapter 3 of Proverbs, in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Yahweh, and he'll direct your paths. And verse 9, and of course this is to bring understanding to your eyes and health to your bones, which we all desire. But verse 9, honor Yahweh with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your income. With your possessions. When you own something, like a phone or computer, use it for the work of Yahweh only. And leave it there. Whenever I have difficulty, I start making a shopping list. Going to get on that internet, make a shopping list. What am I going there for? Just like you do when you go to the grocery store, make a shopping list, because if you don't, you're going to hit 100, over 100, you know, you're going to stand at the cash register with not enough money because you spent too much. Stick to your list. So make a list. And even be prayerful in these things. I guarantee you, if you ask Yahweh permission to go somewhere you know you shouldn't go, you know what he's going to say, and you know you're going to remind yourself, if we ask Yahweh, we're going to keep ourselves straight. So this righteousness is a choice you make. The only thing that makes any difference is the choice you make. We can't force you, but we implore you, we encourage you. And I'm going to leave you with a warning today. There's something that was taught to me in my youth, and it's found in the book of Luke, chapter 12. When I heard this early in my life, I chose honesty as a policy in my life to the best of my ability. I didn't always do it perfectly, but I always remembered this. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Sitting there with a secret in your mind, you think no one else knows? We probably know, but we're waiting for you to make a choice. Neither hidden that will not be known. All things will be brought into light. I remember this when I was caught in a lie. Nobody knew yet, I thought, because I hadn't revealed anything. But it was sitting there on my conscience. Eventually, all lies will be brought out, will be known. So with that in mind, it'll help you make your next choice. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the darkness will be heard in the light, and that which you have whispered in the ear of in closets will be proclaimed on the housetops. Now go with me over to Isaiah 29. Okay, right after Psalms and Proverbs, Isaiah 29, verse 15. Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel, they're the plans from Yahweh, whose works are in the dark, and who say, who sees us? Who knows us? Who knows these things that I do in my private life? Who knows? Truly, your turning things upside down will be esteemed as the potter's clay. Yahweh will know. Yahweh does know. The one that you desire to shape your life to perfection, to give you eternal life, he did not make me? You think he didn't make you? Formed you and created you? Known you from the beginning? Will a thing that is formed, that is you, or his creation, say to him who formed it, he has no understanding. No one's going to find out. Is it not only a very little while, and Lebanon will be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will be esteemed like a forest? And in that day will the deaf hear the words of the book of Yahweh, and out of obscurity and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. You will be known by your actions. The meek will also increase their joy in Yahweh, and the poor among men will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. This is talking about a time that is now occurring, the multitudes coming out, and will increase greatly. We need to be attending the classes and filling our minds with the peaceful solution, with righteousness, getting this practice into our daily lives. Because in this great kingdom that you will live forever in, you will be able to do great service to people who are coming to you with understanding, who want to know more of the life of Yahweh, the life that you've lived, been living. Don't you want to do that with a clear conscience? Don't you want to be available, alert, and awake to their every need? There's no greater joy than to serving your fellow man, knowing the answers to their problems and helping them when they come back to you and say, thank you, I really appreciate you pointing that out. Yeah, thank you for that correction. It has helped me. And then you both go together and rejoice. Yahweh has a great purpose in life for you, and Yahweh is offering the best deal. If you make a deal with the devil, you're both going to lose. Praise Yahweh. If you'll please stand, it's now my joy and privilege and honor to present to you the next teacher, the great Kohan Shemuel Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I've entitled this sermon, The Great Electric Potential, with a little bit of play on words for the sermons that Pastor gave on the great human potential that we all have. and knowing how our bodies are not chemical in nature, but electrical. So I want to start out by giving you a few definitions here. If you've ever heard the term volt or voltage, it's electric potential or potential difference. So I'm talking about this potential. And as far as voltage, it's a potential difference between two points, or the difference in electric potential energy of a unit charge transported between two points. So, you know, it gets a little detailed there, but it's, you know, you think of a battery, a AA battery, you've got 1.5 volts, and, you know, you put it into your electronic device, and or maybe two of them, and your flashlight works, or your cell phone, or whatever it is that takes that battery, that voltage. In Genesis 1:26, you can write this down for your notes. I'm going to paraphrase a number of scriptures here to begin with, just to lay the foundation that Pastor always lays as you study the newsletters and prophetic words. There's these scriptures that are constantly rehearsed to drill within our minds this foundation that we must have. So in Genesis 1:26, we see that Yahweh is making mankind in his image and likeness to be given this authority or this rulership over all the things with which the earth creeps. So the word potential, it means capable of being or becoming. So, you know, Yahweh told Cain was given the instruction, why are you angry? Why are you downcast? If you do righteousness, will you not be acceptable? And so we have this potential. We're able to become righteous, just as Yeshua gave us that perfect example of becoming in the image of Yahweh and coming to perfection. We have this potential, and we also have, you know, the ability to compare, consider, to use similitudes, and to take what's written in the scriptures, to take what we're taught, to be able to see without having to experience the end result of sin. Okay, and we're coming out of sin, out of this lifestyle of sin, overcoming. We're striving to qualify, as we've heard over the last 2 days here, being given authority, qualifying for this authority. But then also, as the earlier speaker spoke today on practicing righteousness leads to eternal life. You know, there's a prophetic word that Pastor wrote, how Yahweh offers us life eternal. Okay, it's not just eternal life, it's not just living forever, but think of everything involved in life. Peace, joy, abundant living, health. You know, completely opposite of Satan's way of war and fighting, hatred, retaliation. But Yahweh offers us life, this peace and joy and abundant living throughout all eternity. And it's for all of those, all of us, who follow the four steps that we heard yesterday, the RCBC, repentance, confession, baptism, and conversion. So in Deuteronomy 30, write this down, verses 15 through 19, Yahweh, you know, he even in the garden, Yahweh set, you know, all the trees, and in the midst was this mixture of righteousness and evil. And Yahweh, you know, told mankind, choose righteousness and do not partake of this mixture of righteousness and evil, because to those who partake of it, they're going to receive curses within their lives. In Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, we see how Yahweh's laws are perfect, converting the whole person. And the point I want to get across in the beginning of the sermon here is how Yahweh's laws, they guide us. They set boundaries on the choices that we make. You know, if we want to receive this life eternal, we have the boundaries within Yahweh's laws. Yahweh tells us to do this, don't do that. You shall not. And he even tells us, go to the place Yahweh's chosen to place his name, go to the priest and do all they instruct you to do. So we have all these guidelines and instructions. And we have to live by these rules. You know, laws are rules or guidelines that we have to live by. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, I'd like to read verses 18 through 19. You know, Cain was angry. Anger is not something beneficial for us. We need to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. But in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 18 through 19. And this is, you know, referring to the way of Cain. It says, I solemnly entreat you to enter into the covenant and oath for fear that there may be among you a man, woman, clan, or tribe this day. And, you know, it's not to point fingers. We should all be examining our own selves and considering whether or not this applies to us. But we're all striving to overcome. And so, you know, the concern is that there may be a person this day whose heart would turn away from Yahweh our Father to go and worship the gods, Elohim, of those nations, for fear there should be among you a root that brings forth gall and wormwood, poison and bitterness. You know, this is this root of bitterness that can develop within a person quite easily if we don't stop and get rid of, you know, push aside any negative thoughts that may come within our mind. If you look at the side notes there for R4 and G2, it says, lest there be a man or woman or family or tribe that fruitfully produces and spreads apace that is rapidly wickedness in your midst. And it's, you know, it develops over time, but it's that root of bitterness and all form of negative thoughts and emotions. You know, we need to be able to push them away, push them out of our thoughts and focus on the positive, being within the boundary and the guideline of Yahweh's laws. G2 says, such sin as this bitter root, a mind full of bitterness and hate, might choke and destroy you. And it's something that we need to nip it in the bud. You know, these phrases that Pastor used to use, like water off a duck's back. You know, that's how it should roll off of us, where, you know, we just learn to not even let it bother us. We can't. We need to get to a point where, you know, if someone, whether it's persecution or a brother jokingly, or someone says something that starts to tug at our emotions and give us negative emotions, you know, let it roll off your back. Verse 19, I solemnly entreat you to enter into the covenant and oath, so it will never come to pass when that one hears the words of this curse, you know, the consequences associated with sin, the curses of sin, that he can congratulate and delude himself in his heart and erroneously think, I will have peace and safety. You know, Cain's way, this way of Nimrod, of war and fighting and retaliation, will never bring peace and safety. It has never brought peace, and it will never bring peace. It's going to bring about this nuclear burning that's prophesied to come to pass. Even though I persist in going my own way. That's why the law says, go to the priest. Don't follow after your own heart. Yahweh will hold all of his sins against him. He has acted sin presumptuously. He is as a drunkard, totally out of control. Now that's how delusional we can become if we trust in our own hearts. And you can read in Yeketzke about, you know, the soul that sins, it will die. But if we turn from our wicked ways, if we repent and confess our sins, then we have this opportunity to qualify for this royal priesthood, this gold and purple that we're seeking after. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Verses 11 and then verse 19. But Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, it says, beware that you do not forget Yahweh your Father by not keeping his laws, his judgments, and his statutes, which I am giving you this day. Now, there were some great sermons given on backsliding, on not going back to this way of sin that we came out of. This word forget, okay, here are the definitions for this word forget. It means failing to obey, ceasing from care. Okay, I want you to remember that word care for the feast, ceasing from care. Forget to mention, to let grow lean, lessen in strength and value. And we can tie a lot of the principles of the peaceful solution with these definitions that we should be valuing positive moral character. These should be our values. And if we forget Yahweh's laws, you know, we're placing less value on those laws. Now, in these last days, you know, starting from the 1930s or so, we know that knowledge has increased and continues to increase. We've heard a lot about the electronic devices lately and how they can, you know, be used for sin, but can also be used for the work of Yahweh. And I want to talk a little bit because, you know, Yahweh created us to where we could live forever. Okay? What mankind has created, okay, cell phones, how long do you think a cell phone is designed to last? About 2 years, 2 to 3 years. And why is that? Because they're trying to make as much money as they can. You know, it's the way of Nimrod, this tyrannical rule getting ahead, the corporations that pastors taught us so much about. And, you know, as far as these companies that design and manufacture cell phones, they've got a team of engineers that designs the cell phone, and then they produce it. And then they've got additional teams that work years afterwards to reduce the cost of those of the bill of materials by pennies. You know, they're looking to take out 3 cents or 5 cents or 10 cents out of the cost of a cell phone, because when you're making millions, that adds up to a lot of money. But how do you reduce the cost by, you know, a few cents? Or how do you keep the cost low? Well, you're picking cheap components. You're picking inferior components that don't last very long. And if you want to design something that's going to last 10 years or 15 years as far as electronics, you know, instead of a 10-cent capacitor, you're going to put in a dollar capacitor. It's going to cost a lot more. It's going to be larger. It's going to be more robust. But there's going to be costs and size and other things associated with that decision. So these electronic components, I want to talk a little bit about a capacitor, okay? Because we're talking about potential difference or voltage. And within a capacitor, you can put a voltage across it and develop this potential difference. So a capacitor, in very simple terms, is just two conductive plates. And they're separated by a dielectric, or you could think of it as an insulator. Okay, and the closer you put those plates together, the higher the capacitance. And the bigger surface area you make those plates, the higher the capacitance as well. Now, when you put a voltage or an electrical potential difference across that capacitor, one of the plates becomes positively charged and the other plate becomes negatively charged. Now, as far as designing electronics, you know, all these components have ratings. And I've got a little video to show you here if you want to play the video that I'll talk through. But, you know, just like the laws of Yahweh, these components have to be operated within the rules or the ratings associated with them. So circled here is a capacitor that's operated outside of its limits, you know, being stressed beyond the breaking point, and then there's a slow motion. So you can see how catastrophic failures can be. Now, think of the way Yahweh created us, how powerful our mind is, how, you know, the neurons making connections within our brains, yet, you know, smoking marijuana or committing various sins that bring forth STDs, eating unclean foods. You know, these things all start to break down and destroy our bodies, you know, sometimes very violently, even though we don't even realize it. You know, it might just feel like a pain in our knee or, you know, something like, you know, my stomach's feeling a little queasy, but, you know, after eating some unclean food. But the scriptures talk about how, you know, Satan brought forth the lie that you won't die. You know, you'll be like the gods, knowing this righteousness and evil. You won't surely die. But the moment we sin, it starts to bring forth death within our bodies. we suffer the curses associated with them, and we're then operating outside of the law, outside of those limits that Yahweh set before us in order to have this life eternal. So you can write down in your notes Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 2 that we cut ourselves off from Yahweh when we sin. You know, the world questions, you know, why doesn't my Heavenly Father, my Creator, hear my prayers? Well, it's because of our own sins. And First Yochanan 3 verses 4, 7 through 8, which Pastor always covers, you know, that sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws, and we have to be very careful that even, you know, us adults, we need to consider ourselves as little children, that we don't allow someone to deceive us or allow us to deceive ourselves even. So I want to stress how keeping Yahweh's laws is a way of life. It's these rules and guidelines that we live by, the peaceful solution, which teaches us to focus on the positive and eliminate the negative. We're going through these different periods, the growth in the house of Yahweh, the green, through the tests and the trials and the persecutions. We're being purified, shown through the gold, and becoming this royal priestly family with the purple. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. So not only can these electronic devices bring forth our death to us by negative choices that we may use them for, but they're also, you know, if you just consider the fact that it's not made to last. Remember the computer, 666. Everything associated with that, bringing forth war, this nuclear burning, retaliation, sin, is brought forth through the computer. Now, granted, we're trying to use it to push forth the work of Yahweh. Yahweh is using these things to do so and opening doors, but you know, we need to be careful in how we conduct ourselves and the choices we make. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not grow weary of doing righteousness, for in due time we will reap if we do not faint, if we endure to the end." Okay, let us not grow weary of doing righteousness, for in due time we will reap if we do not faint, if we endure to the end. And I think these scriptures are more and more necessary for us to focus on and to not grow weary, that we continue to push forward in doing righteousness, that we don't grow faint. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 on page 951. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I almost think that that the apostles and disciples, maybe even Yeshua, was a marathoner. I think they knew what it meant to run a long race, especially something over 20 miles. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we are also surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entraps us, and let us run the race that is set before us with endurance." Okay, now, I would be willing to say that whether it's the youngest or the oldest, you know, we could run from here to the South office. And, you know, within 10, 15 minutes, probably everyone would be down there. Okay, maybe 30. You know, Pastor told us quite a while ago, you know, 40 years ago, he talked about climbing a mountain. He talked about Sir Edmund Hillary and the amount of effort it took, the preparation, the planning, the training that it took for him to climb Mount Everest. It's the same thing required to run a marathon, to run a 26.2-mile marathon. It takes a tremendous amount of preparation, both physically and mentally. And I almost think that we're probably right around the 20-mile mark right now. Maybe close, you know, we're pretty close to the finish line. Pastor keeps telling us it's almost there, okay? Well, around the 20-mile mark is where a lot of runners hit the wall. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of the wall, but, you know, if you've ever run into a wall physically or a glass door or something, you know what it feels like. You're not going through it. The wall, if you're, you know, as far as a marathon, the wall is described as an overwhelming feeling of heaviness in the legs. You know, for the first 20 miles, it's pretty much all physical. You know, you're just running. You got your pace, you're just running. You got it, no problem. About 20 miles is where things start to change in your body. And, you know, if you don't have the full physical preparation, you hit the wall. It's an overwhelming feeling of heaviness in the legs, a lack of concentration, and even feelings of outright despair. Okay, the wall is where people give up. It's where they feel like they want to give up, like they've got no more. The wall is filled with negative emotions, negative thoughts, negative feelings, okay, full of despair. The wall is where mental toughness, positive thinking, and experience come into play. Okay, it's not just a physical battle anymore, but it's also mental. It's a mental battle to push aside the negative thoughts and just keep running. So, some of the hints or the suggestions that are given if a person hits the wall is to repeat positive, self-affirming statements to yourself. All right, now, I read an article that talked about an Olympic coach, and I want you all to get this. The Olympic coach who trained marathoners, he would stress to his runners that the subconscious mind does not judge. You know, where do we hear that before? From our teacher. The subconscious mind just takes in. It's just observing. And if we tell the mind that we like something, you know, it's going to reiterate that and affirm that within our mind. But the subconscious mind doesn't judge. So you must avoid words like not. Okay? This is what he tells people when they hit the wall. Don't use the word not. You know, do not use the word not. Let me give you an example. If you repeat the phrase, I am not weak, I do not quit, your subconscious mind will only preserve the heart of the message, which is, I am weak and I quit. It's better to say, I am strong and I always finish. You know, and this is the same way with a child. If a child has a tendency to strike, rather than saying, don't strike, it would be better to say, be gentle, and then show them how to be gentle, okay? Now, if you turn over to Philippians chapter 2, to conclude here in Philippians chapter 2, so many of you may have hit the wall already. Maybe that was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Maybe that was yesterday, or maybe it's going to be tomorrow. We need to have these positive thoughts. We need to encourage one another in righteousness. We need to, you know, become at one with Yahweh, making the connection with Yahweh. And we need to be in unity with one another, encouraging one another to righteousness. You know, running this race, yes, we all compete for a crown, but we're not running as if only one person is going to receive the crown. You know, we're a body, we're a team. We're one member working together, and everyone within that body is a necessary member of the body. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, if there is any consolation in the Messiah, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, complete my joy by being like-minded, okay, being in unity, having the same love, being united in one accord of one mind. You know, complete my joy. This is, You know, the joy that the apostles, the prophets, Yeshua, our pastor and overseer, Yeshua Hawkins, this is the joy that they have to be able to see that we are in one accord, working together. Verse 3, let nothing be done by way of strife or empty glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. You know, this is how we develop unity, by putting others before ourselves. This is the servitude, the attitude of servitude that develops unity within a body, within a family. Let nothing be done, verse 3 again, let nothing be done by way of strife or empty glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let every one of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua Messiah. You know, we should be striving for this, to be like Yeshua. And this is how he was. Look at verse 6. Who, being in the form of Yahweh, did not think it was something to be seized upon to be equal with Yahweh. You know, not like Satan, who raised herself up. She wanted to be a god. Verse 7, but Yeshua abased himself, taking the form of a servant, made like men, being born. And being found in fashion, appearance, and conduct like a man, well, he was a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the sacrifice on the stake. He gave his life for us. He gave his life for us. I think so many times we take that for granted, the blood that was shed on our behalf. Yet, you know, what do we do? Do we continue in our foolish ways? Or are we striving to overcome? And we have to overcome. Yahweh says we can. We can do it, but we, you know, it's the effort we have to put forth. We have to put forth the effort both within our own lives. And if we see someone down, we should be looking for ways to encourage them. We should be rehearsing these positive affirmations that we can do it, okay? That we can overcome, that we can continue and endure and remain faithful and loyal to this work. So I want to encourage you all to maintain this positive attitude, to push aside the negative, to help one another push aside negative thoughts and emotions. You know, be very careful with the words that we say to one another. Do they encourage one another? Do they lift one another up? Would I want to be told this? You know, let's consider our actions and our attitudes to one another, and let's become like Yeshua, who was, you know, the greatest servant. And Yeshua Hawkins is teaching us, our pastor and overseer, to be those greatest servants who would serve anyone, you know, no matter what we thought about them. And we're learning to allow those thoughts to roll off our backs like water off a duck's back, and just keep pushing forward. Get through the wall, keep pushing through the wall, and get to the finish line. You know, we have a short time left, and we're almost there. May Yahweh bless your understanding. If you all please stand. I'd like to turn the services over to the great Gohan Kifa Hawkins for prayer.